You're going to shut off breakfast at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? Good grief. I don't really get sound asleep till about 7. 8 o'clock, that's a catastrophe. Well, listen, this is exciting, great, and Buzzy and I want to express our appreciation to Walt and Liette, and to Bob and Jan, to all of you, for the privilege of being here and being refreshed and challenged and encouraged. And for you kids, for keeping Uncle Bob on his toes this week. And that was exciting. And you can go home and tell all your friends and bring, you know, 500 kids back next summer. And we'll have the adult conference up at Eagle Lake. And just turn Glen Eyrie over to a giant, whatever Bob wants to call it. Bob and Jan and the 500. It'll be a thrilling week, Bob. Never be the same. Well, let me give you three basic principles to take home with you, just very quickly, from the 12th chapter of John. I'll read verses 23 through 26 and point out to you three basic principles, three things that you can build your life on this coming year or for the rest of your lives. John 12:23, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's just pause for a moment, shall we, and bow our hearts and heads and ask the Spirit of God in these closing moments of the conference to speak to each of us, meet our individual need. Father, thank you for a wonderful day, a delightful week, for all of the many lessons that you've taught us. The children, the kids, the grown-ups, for being so good to us, for knitting our hearts together in a bond of love around the person of Jesus Christ. And now in these closing moments, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and accomplish your perfect will in each of our lives. We ask it with thanksgiving in the holy name of Christ. Amen. Let me give you three basic principles of life. The first one is found in verse 24. And the principle is this, that death is the prerequisite to fruitfulness. Death is the prerequisite to fruitfulness. What happens to a seed when it falls into the ground and dies? What does it mean for a seed to die? Well, one of the things that it means is that it loses its own identity. It disintegrates. There's a loss of self. Self simply disappears. There are chemical changes that take place because of the water and the chemicals in the soil, the heat of the sun. Now, Jesus was making reference to himself, making reference to his death. He died, and you and I are the fruit of his death. But he expects you and me to die. And we have one of two choices. We can either die and bring forth fruit, or we can choose not to die and abide alone. What does it mean to die? I think one of the things that it means is a complete, unquestioning availability to the Holy Spirit to be planted anywhere, anytime He chooses. The field is the world. You know that passage in Matthew 13? Now, can you imagine for just a moment a farmer coming out to the barn, and he's got a bin full of seed here, and he's been out in the South 40, and he's plowed it and disked it and filled it with chemicals and fertilizer, and he's prepared the soil, and today is the day to plant the seed. And he goes out in the barn and he puts the proper equipment on the tractor and he gets the tractor all set and the machinery to spread the seed out there. And he goes into the barn, he gets the big sack of seed out there in the bin, and he says, "Okay, seed, today you get planted in the South 40. And all of a sudden he looks in this bag here, this bin full of seed, let's, you know, suppose it's wheat. And there's a giant demonstration. And all the seed marching around in there with signs, "The North 40. We demand our rights, the North 40. And the farmer says, "But I prepared the South, but the North 40 is full of rocks and trees and mesquite and everything else, and it's not ready, and there's no fertilizer. It's the South 40 is already." North 40, big debate, argument, back and forth. Marching around with sign, every little seed with his own sign. North 40, you know, the demonstration. Well, that's ridiculous. And do you know what we do? The Holy Spirit says, "I want to plant you over here." And we say, "No, not me. I've got my rights. I demand to be planted in the North 40. We abide alone. Thrilling promise. No threats in the Bible. All promises. God never threatened anybody. All God ever makes are promises. If I say you're going to die, that's a threat. God says you're going to die, that's a promise. You will abide alone. And there are Christians, evangelical, fundamental, born again, baptized, squared away, down to business, rock rib, fundamental, orthodox seeds who are abiding alone tonight. They've simply never made known their unequivocal availability to the Holy Spirit to die, to be planted where He wanted them. If you're unwilling to do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do, you're unqualified to do what you want to do. Don't ever forget it. If you're unwilling to do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do, you've disqualified yourself from doing what you want to do. That's what it means to die, to be available to the Holy Spirit, to be planted anywhere He wants. Reverend Lee, we're delighted you're here tonight. It's a great honor. Gang, if you and I are unwilling to go to China, God isn't going to use us in Texas. I know, I'm delighted that Choates are going to China and Taiwan, Lord willing, and we've got another couple down in San Antonio coming over your way. It's great. I hope they don't get in your way. The field is the world, gang. And if there's a serious reservation in the back of your heart and mind as to whether or not you're willing to go anywhere the Holy Spirit wants you, wherever you stay, you're going to abide alone. That's a promise. Fruitfulness is simply people. Whatever you plant, that's what comes up. If I die, then God will bring forth people. Put corn in the ground, you get corn. Wheat, wheat. If a disciple dies to himself, then what springs forth is disciples of Jesus Christ. The first great principle, death is a prerequisite to fruitfulness. Now the next one's verse 25. Hatred is a prerequisite to life. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I And the trend today is, and the emphasis is living. This is really living. I did it my way. That's the title of one popular song. Another popular song, I Want to Be Me. Whatever in the world that means. What does it mean to hate your life? Simply to relinquish control of your own will. Jesus Christ came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. And if you hate your life, it means your will. What is your life? Well, it's time, possessions, money. You know, one of the big lies in the world today is the lie of ownership. The lie of ownership. Can you imagine a man just, you know, working his fingers to the bone, 16 hours a day, selling his soul to mammon? He gets his house. This is my house. I paid for this house with my money. This is my house. I am the owner of this house. And then what happens? He has an acute myocardial infarction. And he goes out feet first. They say, who in the world is that? Oh, that's the owner. The who? They just carried him out feet first. The owner. Beloved, I have news for you. You don't own anything. Isn't that thrilling? Two fellas in the back pew at the funeral of the millionaire, and one said, how much did he leave? He left it all. You cannot take it with you. Jack Benny says, if I can't take it with me, I'm not going. I have news for him. You can send it on ahead. You can't take it with you. Your will. Time, possessions, plans. You can love it. You can cling to it. You can clutch it and exist. But you can't cling to it and live. Hatred is a prerequisite to life. And just like dying, hatred is an unending process. It isn't the kind of a thing we just do once and for all. When it comes to dying, Jesus said, take up the cross daily. When it comes to hatred, in terms of things, relationships, situations, it's never settled once for all. There may be a crisis. There may be a mountaintop experience, but all the way through life, year after year, God is going to come back and put his finger on something. There will be a new test. If you've passed a test this week, the only thing you know for sure is that there's another one coming. The next one may be tougher. The rewards will be greater. Hatred is a prerequisite to life. And then the third great principle, in verse 26. Service is a prerequisite to honor. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. One of the great hallmarks or qualities or characteristics of Christian service, and by this I don't mean being a minister or a pastor or a missionary necessarily or a navigator or anything else. I'm talking about any man or any woman who's serving God, is to have the honor which comes from God, that life of blessing. God is honoring his life. There's a quality about his life. God is honoring him. Some of the best football teams, some of the best football players, when you sit down and ask them on Saturday afternoon if it's a college game or Sunday afternoon if it's a professional game, they've turned in a fantastic performance. You know, and the crowds were cheering and there was all the noise and the hoopla. And say, who in the world were you playing for out there? The best men will say frequently, not always, I was playing for one man. I was playing the game for the coach. Not the other teammates. Not the roaring, cheering crowd. Playing the game for the coach. Who are you playing the game for? The other members in the church, the people in the community, family, friends, the onlookers, the people who are clapping and cheering, or are you playing the game for the coach? Jesus Christ. Where does the coach want you to play? Are you getting your signals from him? Or do you have your own plan? Does your life have the quality about it? Down in the depth of your soul, in all humility, infinite gratitude, an inner sense that God is honoring my life. If you have that conviction, you're greatly blessed. But if there's a serious doubt, then get with the coach and find out why not. Jesus Christ said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There may be heartache, suffering, tribulation, persecution, difficulty, misunderstanding, criticism, as well as joy and blessing and fruitfulness. But down in your soul, you know that God is honoring your life. And if you don't know that, then find out why not. Three great principles of life. You can take them with you and they'll work this month. This year, the rest of the cruise. You want to be fruitful? Back in your community? Very simple. All you have to do is die. You want to really live? Then all you have to do is hate. Do you want God to honor your life? All you have to do is serve. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, the obvious presence of the Holy Spirit, all that you've done in our hearts and lives this week. And pray for grace and a submissive, teachable spirit to allow the Spirit of God to bring these truths into focus and to forge them into our hearts and lives so that it might be our experience as well as our theology. For the greater glory of Christ, we ask it in his incomparable name. Amen.